This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We'll talk about Sears, Saudi Arabia, and Sudan in today's show. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Sears, once America's biggest retailer, has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. It's reportedly unable to pay a $130 million debt installment today. The BBC's Theo Leggett has more.
Sears was once a titan of American retailing. Founded in the late 19th century, the Chicago-based company rose to prominence first through its mail-order catalog business. It went on to invest heavily in department stores, and at its peak had more than 3,000 outlets. However, it later suffered from competition from large discount chains such as Walmart. More recently, it also struggled to compete with online retailers, while encumbered with a heavy burden of debt. Chapter 11 bankruptcy gives the company protection from its creditors while it tries to reorganize its debt or sell parts of its business.
Thea Leggett, let's do the numbers. The British pound is weaker after another round of Brexit negotiations ended in stalemate over the weekend. Portuguese bond yields are lower as buyers step in after Moody's upgraded the country's credit rating back to investment grade. And that momentum is helping push Italian yields lower. New figures today show foreign holdings of Italian bonds increased in July. And let's talk more about Italy, because by tonight the stage may well be set for a budget confrontation. The European Commission finally gets its hands on Italy's draft budget. It has the power to request changes and ultimately impose sanctions if Rome doesn't comply. Italy's ruling coalition has already said it won't backtrack on proposals for a universal income, on tax cuts, and lowering the retirement age, all of which will raise its deficit beyond acceptable EU limits. Federico Santi is European analyst with the Eurasia Group.
It's quite clearly at odds with European agreements that would actually require Italy to further reduce its deficit with a view to bring its monster public debt under control instead of increasing it. So I think the European Commission won't have much of a choice but to reject or push back against the budget later in the month.
Italy's leaders, though, seem to be digging in. The Five Star Movement and the League have said they're not going to change their proposals. So are they prepared for some kind of pushback from the EU?
I think the government is betting on a somewhat weak commission, ultimately giving the budget a pass. But I think they're also prepared to use any further confrontation with the EU as a way to bolster support. What this logic doesn't take into account is the potential impact of the budget on financial markets and ultimately the Italian economy itself.
What do you think the economic fallout could be if they don't work to reduce the deficit in the budget?
Well, this is the issue, right? I think the government is counting on that a higher deficit will lead to higher growth and in turn pay for itself. What we're seeing already is that any potential benefits from higher spending from the budget are quickly being offset by rising borrowing costs for the Italian government and in turn for Italian firms, Italian households, Italian banks. I think it's a very risky strategy. We're still expecting some compromise to emerge, although I think before that's possible, I think we need to see a more significant bout of pressure in financial markets. I think that's the only thing that would ultimately force the Italian government back to the negotiating table.
Federico Santi. JP Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon is the latest global figure to pull out of Saudi Arabia's investment conference, Davos, in the desert next week, after the disappearance of the Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Now, the Saudis deny killing him, but Ford's chairman and Uber's chief executive also won't be attending. President Trump, meanwhile, is weighing up the U.S. response, including possibly canceling a $110 billion arms deal. Samir Shahata, professor of Middle Eastern Studies at Oklahoma University, says if proof of responsibility for the killing emerges, a Saudi boycott would make sense.
Now, I think the Saudis now are scrambling to try to get out of this mess. This is a major crisis for Saudi Arabia. I think it would be the least that the United States and Britain and other countries could do if it was certain, proven that Mr. Khashoggi was murdered in the consulate.
Now that's Samir Shahata. And global oil prices are rising today on concerns about supply, while some Saudi-linked stocks have also been hit. Sudan today begins printing a 100-pound banknote worth about $5 to combat 50% inflation. In 2011, when South Sudan broke away, it took most of the country's oil revenue with it. Peter Woodward from the University of Reading explains.
There had been hopes at one time to build up agriculture in Sudan. It was going to feed the Arab world. That's never been achieved. Problems of infrastructure, lack of agricultural investment have never allowed the country to develop. It then had great hopes for oil. And in the early 2000s, the economy grew quite fast. It was the Chinese who come in, and they were very efficient in getting the oil out, both from South Sudan and the limited amount from North Sudan. Since South Sudan went independent, it meant the overall volume of oil has gone down significantly, both from South Sudan and indeed from Sudan itself.
So printing notes will obviously help people tote around the cash they need, but that's not going to solve the problem.
It certainly isn't going to solve the problem. No one knows quite how you solve the problem. It's basically hand to mouth, and the government tries to get support from time to time from neighbouring Arab states. Its other great hope is to get the lifting of American sanctions put in place because of the association of Sudan with Islamic terrorism. And although the economic sanctions were lifted slightly in 2017, the sanctions in other areas just continue, particularly on the political front, which makes it hard for Sudan to attract investment.
Peter Wood were there on Sudan's serious inflation issues. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.